This is the Friday, March 15th, 2019 version of the market analysis segment from Market to Market. The bears appear to have left the market. The question is, for how long? The big three commodities had their best performance in 7 weeks as spring weather challenges appeared on the horizon. For the week, May wheat bounced higher by 23 cents, while the nearby corn contract gained 9 cents. The saga of U.S. and Chinese trade talks took another turn this week as the president said he's willing to walk away without a deal. The May soybean contract increased 14 cents. May meal jumped 7.10 per ton. May cotton improved 2.01 per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, April Class 3 milk futures added 11 cents. The livestock market was mixed. April cattle shed 58 cents. April feeders fell 77 cents. And the April lean hog contract rocketed $8.25, a nearly 14% jump. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index stepped back 69 ticks. April crude oil soared again, this time by $2.35 per barrel. COMEX gold gained 220 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index improved nearly 14 points to finish at 431.70. Joining us now to offer insight on these and other trends is one of our regular market analysts, Don Rose. Don, welcome back.
Thank you, Delaney. Great to be back.
Don, we had an exciting week this week and put in a reversal here earlier in the week in the wheat markets. Is the bottom in?
Well, you know, we think so. We think a lot of these grain markets have scored a bottom, and certainly it was a positive week for agriculture, and wheat was the number one leader on the grain market. We had basically, on the wheat market, if you look at it, we dropped off the top $5 a bushel a few weeks back. We torpedoed all the way down to 427. We had a double bottom on wheat, which means we scored a technical bottom here short term, and really it was led by the world just finding good support. Russia flour, Russia interior prices moved up, and that really gave us support in the market. So the wheat market, we think, found a short-term bottom.
Did we see exports improve the situation at all for the wheat market?
Well, you know, remember, not yet, but, you know, that's the opportunity down the road as we look at other countries, see if they're going to have some weather problems as we move forward. That's really probably the thing that we have to look at now. April, June is going to be the key for the wheat direction, but funds are caught like they are in a lot of these grain markets. They're short, record short, caught in the wheat short, and in the regular wheat, soft red wheat, also short. So that's the opportunity. It's the wrong time of year to be caught short going into the spring.
Don, you mentioned weather issues. We're also seeing weather issues in the United States. We had a social media question about that to some extent this week. We've got Bradley in Upland, Nebraska. He said, many acres of winter wheat didn't get planted in the plains due to abnormally wet weather last fall. How will that affect corn and soybean acres this spring?
Well, that's a good question. I think when you look at it, that is going to be the debate, and we're going to start to look at that when we see the March 29th acres in stocks and all positions report not that far away. Remember, we're already at record low, 110-year acre lows on wheat, so we think that is going to be you know, some shuffling around on wheat, but you know, the acres are pretty low already, you know, and that's the one issue.
Don, you mentioned that wheat was the leader this week. Did we see any reaction in the corn market specifically from the rumored announcement about you or about China potentially buying U.S. corn? Did that breathe any life into the corn markets?
Well, I think it really did. I think, remember, the wheat market is the thing that really pulled the corn market down to just some, actually we went down to harvest lows on corn, and then we found some support. And you could see when the wheat market started to rally, the corn market started to rally. So, you know, we think that it probably the corn market scored some kind of a low, much like the wheat did also. So we think, you know, there's some upside potential.
Net short positions are record levels for the corn market as well for this time of year. What does that mean for the corn market going forward?
Well, you're exactly right. We had a key reversal on Tuesday on the corn, and at that time, the we were just off the record short position, 238,000 contracts, a record on the wheat or the corn short, and they got up to about 218,000, so a big short. And I think what it really means, same thing as the wheat, it's a wrong time of the year for the funds to be caught too short. We need some kind of a catalyst to push to the upside, and I think on Friday, when we saw the Chinese parliament vote to protect the foreign IP and IT, I think that really was a green light, and it really shot a lot of the commodities up, as there's big opportunity in the hopes that we're going to see a lot of agricultural purchases, so we'll see.
Was that the reason we saw soybeans also have a pretty strong close here on Friday?
Well, you're right. I mean, the soybean market also on technically on our systems turned up on Friday. It was wheat first, then it was corn, and then the soybeans last. And I think that is part of the reason. I mean, when you look at it, the soybean market, a lot of these markets have been caught in a range, but particularly the soybean market's been caught in a range. So we went down the bottom end of the range. Now we're trying to move back into the middle of the range. And, you know, it's all on how much buying opportunity is ahead. And then, you know, what's the U.S. weather going to be?
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about weather, but first, I have this question for you, Don. When you look at the rumored sales or even some of the sales that have been confirmed by China, especially on U.S. soybeans, it seems like we're not reacting in the soybean markets anymore. How much of a purchase or agreement are we going to have to see to spark some life back into the soybean markets?
Well, a lot of those purchases have been telegraphed, and, you know, that's part of the problem. We've had these agreements, and then some of these purchases have been for even next year on soybeans, so they're distributed out. And I think if you look at it from a Chinese standpoint, we've already passed our biggest opportunity for exports, and so now we're really, it's South America's time that they're up to bat. So I think that's part of the problem. But it doesn't mean that we don't have some spring concerns.
South America, you opened the gate there on that as well. Brazil is nearing the end of their end of their harvest. Are we seeing them taking up the lion's share of exports to China at this point?
Yeah, and that's the real problem. I mean, our export market is really in the fall, and theirs is just really right now. So, and I think the other thing that's happened is Brazil's crop, it was shrinking. Now it's stabilized. And, you know, as you know, they're about 65% harvested, so they're moving along pretty aggressively along with Argentina. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the soybean situation's behind us from Brazil, and we're really turning from South America to North America on soybeans right now. And then corn, we'll look at Brazil and the U.S. as we hit the spring and summer.
Well, we're hitting the spring now. We finally got some warm weather. We're seeing temperatures rise, but we're seeing so much flooding across the Midwest, the plains. Don, are we going to see acreage shifts here because of delayed planting?
Well, and that's going to be the big debate, because it starts with the fact that we didn't get the proper fall tillage work done. So it starts there. And then I think we're just going to see how the spring goes, because it's one of those that you're running into people in the Delta that are actually with the low prices that we have on corn. It's wet down there. It's wet in the south. They're actually hoping maybe they could get some prevent plant acres. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of strange things. But, yeah, we're coming up to an important time period. And typically, we tried to add risk premium because we don't know what's going to happen with the weather and a lot of these other issues. And I think this last week was a good week for the grain market to the upside.
It was. We're going to continue discussing the grain markets and Market Plus. But, Don, we've got to talk about the meat markets. They've also had some fascinating couple of weeks here. The live cattle market is interesting to me because packers are buying so far out in advance for April and May. Is that normal for this time of year?
Well, if you look back on the cattle market, what we had is just a tough winter, one of the toughest winters we've had for a long time. Our production was supposed to be up 1% to 2% in the first quarter. Because of the conditions, the weight's down, actually down 1%. But the issue that you have going forward is we're going to have the supplies jump to a 12-year high from the first to the second quarter. So we've got a lot of supplies coming at us, and it's really going to be up to the demand. But also on Friday, a lot of optimism that maybe pork buying and also beef buying by China. So it really was all about China, and the funds are sitting near record long in the cattle market. We were talking they were record short in the corn market. So there's some fireworks there, but seasonally we usually put a top in right during this time frame, Delaney, and typically we drop $27 a hundredweight from the winter high to the summer low. That puts you at 102 for a low if we do the average, so you got to be careful.
Do you think we're going to follow that normal seasonal pattern?
I think we'll follow a seasonal pattern. We got a $13 a hundredweight build in now, but I think it's going to be something less than that. You know, you would think that more like a 109 low would probably be more realistic just because the hog prices are just on fire.
Okay, let's talk about hog prices because they had so much excitement this week. Over the last 2 weeks, they've put on $12 in the lean hog markets. Is it all spurred because of Chinese buying?
It's all about China. And I tell you, the hog market really was the darling of agriculture this last
I
week.
Like
and,
that.
And I tell you, when you look at it, it's just a series of events. We had hog prices went way too low just recently because China was liquidating their herd and putting that those supplies into the pipeline. Then it just did a 180. A week ago, pig prices jumped $10 over in China. That really was the start of it. And then we did have on our export sales, China bought 50% of our exports. And their breeding herd looks like it's down somewhere around 19%. Mm-hmm. Their overall supply is down 16%. So does that equate to big buying in the U.S.? The market voted that it does, but we'll see.
Don, let's assume China's going to continue buying. How much higher are we going to head here in the lean hog markets?
Well, and that's it. You know, that is the question because we had the PED virus of 2014 and, you know, we shot up into the mid-130s pretty fast. So do we have that type of market? Usually in markets like this, we have July hogs around 89. You usually try to hit these big round numbers. That's $100. We'll see. But, you know, it's a market that's very overbought right now, very dependent on what the Chinese do from a buying standpoint, because I can tell you, the government put out their outlook. They're looking for, just for example, the fourth quarter, 50 to 56. They're looking for supplies to be up 3.5% in the fourth quarter, third quarter up 4%. So there's a big disconnect between what the government's saying and what the market's voting on the Chinese to be.
Don, your quick thoughts here. Crude oil continues to chug higher. We hit the highest level since November. 10-second thoughts on, are we staying here or going higher?
Well, I think we're in a range bound, so I would expect we're going into the season where we usually push up on energies. I imagine we follow a seasonal pattern, but I think it's limited to the upside.
All right, Don, we're going to continue talking about some of these things. Feeder, cotton, we didn't get to those, but we're going to hit them in Market Plus. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That wraps up the broadcast portion of Market to Market, but we will keep this conversation going on Market Plus, where we'll answer more of your questions. You can find it on our website at markettomarket.org. A reminder, many PBS stations are in their fundraising mode, and this program may be shifted to different time slots. Please show your support by calling the station that carries Market to Market and invest in accurate information and timely market analysis. Join us again next week when we look at the challenges of moving back to the farm, as many others have left rural areas. So until then, thanks for watching. I'm Delaney Howell. Have a great week.